We Will Not Be Tamed, a Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation podcast that encourages all Texans to get involved in conserving the wild things and wild places of our state.
I'm Lydia Saldana with Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, and we're here at Powderhorn Ranch with two guests that are connected to the We Will Not Be Tamed campaign, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Erin Franz, and I am the project manager for We Will Not Be Tamed.
Hey, my name is Rick Wittenbreaker, and I am a part of the apparel brand Howler Brothers.
And also involved with the campaign.
And also involved now with the campaign for 2019.
That's awesome. Awesome. And you know what, Erin, let's start with you and just kind of tell us a little bit about the campaign. I mean, we've wrapped up the first phase, and tell us about that.
It was an incredible year. We kicked it off January with a nice spread on JT Van Zandt, one of our ambassadors. And it was Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation's way to engage people in conserving the wild things and wild places of Texas. We partnered with great brands like Howler Brothers and Toyota and Yeti to tell stories of just incredible Texans getting outside and enjoying the outdoors and inspiring others to do the same.
Okay. And of course, Howler Brothers was one of our brand partners for 2018.
Yes.
And Rick, tell us about your decision to get involved with the campaign.
It really started for us. One of my business partners, Andy Stepanian, he was friends with Jay Clayburg. And Andy lives in Houston and said, hey, I really think you ought to meet with Jay and hear him out on what they're trying to put together here. And I believe this was second half of 2017 when we first started that. And so we thought, once we kind of dug in a little bit to the foundation and then furthermore into the We Will Not Be Tamed campaign, we just loved it. And especially even more so because you all had selected several of our friends as and fellow ambassadors as ambassadors for the campaign. And that we also, like you all, appreciate all the wild places and things of Texas. And so for us, it was kind of an easy fit.
Now, y'all have been involved with conservation organizations before.
Yes. We've done a number of different, worked with a number of different organizations over the years, and it sort of depends. And for us, we love conservation issues or groups because we love those places. And so a lot of it may revolve around preserving a habitat or around preserving a species or something like that. But being based here in Austin and having a lot of presence in Texas, this one really hit home for us.
Well, Erin, this is not your first rodeo. You've been involved with conservation organizations and conservation nonprofits for a good part of your career, including as executive director of Texan by Nature, right?
Yes, yes.
And then also with LCRA? With
the Colorado River Alliance, which is the nonprofit funding partner of LCRA.
So you've been involved with organizations and efforts to get the word out. How is this different?
This was just really incredible. It had a lot of energy and momentum behind it. We got to bring in just some really great people doing great things in the state of Texas, all for a common cause. And I think when you all band together and get behind just the beauty that Texas has to offer, it's just fun and it works.
What kind of feedback, I mean, have you gotten from just, you've done a lot of events where you've been out there interacting just with general public, right? So what kind of feedback have you gotten?
It's all been positive, and really the momentum, and people were just excited and wanted to be a part of it, wanted to know what they could do. Things just on social media, the buzz we were getting on that just was translating into the public as well. And when you were in person, people were like, oh, I saw it on this feed, or I saw it on Howler Brothers, and just the energy behind it was incredible.
I think about communications, and I know I've heard you talk, Rick, about communications and marketing being all about the story and about storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you think this campaign kind of played into that idea?
I think one of the things for me that was so interesting as a sponsor and as just an audience member was that the people you all selected as the ambassadors were so, they cut such a wide swath of the state, and it was different locations and different interests and different just all walks of life. And so I think it gave everyone who enjoys the wild places of Texas, it gave them someone to relate to. There was someone in that group that I could relate to or that you could relate to. And it wasn't all well-known people. There were people who were just doing great work but weren't necessarily known or hadn't necessarily been on the cover of magazines before or things like that. Some of them had, but then there were some other ones, and I think those made it especially interesting.
Now, Aaron, you have interacted with this group of people for the last 12 months. Any insights that you've taken from this? Anything you've learned? Anything?
I've loved getting to know each one of them. They all have really unique stories. And I think the heart of it is just this shared connection with the outdoors. And they all connected with it differently. Some were avid hunters and some were hiking, but it made it accessible, kind of what you were saying, Rick. Like, it was relatable on so many levels. You could find people that were inspiring in a way. Just like Leon McNeil, who takes out kids who've never gotten a chance to get outside of the city and takes them on their first hunt and really teaches the ethics behind it and gives them an opportunity to connect with nature. And I think that carries over into their everyday lives and it can affect them for the rest of their lives. To Xochitl, who is amazing, who is so inspiring as a mom myself to be able to see somebody who carries her four-year-old up the mountains in El Paso, the Franklin Mountains, and just getting to pass on from generation to generation this love of the outdoors. It was just incredible, the people.
And y'all are both parents and you both have kids. Mm-hmm. And how important is that to you to spend time in nature with your kids?
It's very important. It's why I do what I do. It's really what calls me to be in this profession. I mean, I was inspired and engaged with nature from a young age from my parents. I mean, they took us hiking and camping and just got that connection. And fortunately, I grew up at a time when we could just run wild. And we, even in the cities, you could find the nature space and just go and explore. So I have this, just my history that I want to pass on to my kids and have them connect with it the same way. And I feel like today we have limited opportunities. They're so busy, our lives are so busy, to just step away. So it's important for me to teach them that this is really good for your soul and it's good for your life, so we need to do this.
I'll echo everything Aaron just said. I mean, I think it's something that I've grown up with my entire life. It's something I got to do with my parents. And it's something I always really loved. And frankly, it's every time I get free time or free dollars, it's what I go do. And so, to pass it on to your kids and to teach them all the good things, for me, it's also not about, bringing home necessarily a cooler of fish or bringing home some trophy. It's way more about the day and the experience and everything you learn along the way. And, if you're actually a really good angler or a really good hunter, you know about all the different plants. And you understand weather patterns, and you understand tides, and you learn about all these things, and that's all a result of spending time out there and caring, as opposed to just trying to get a trophy for your wall, or some awesome picture for your Instagram or whatever it is. But and real selfishly, my son is 11 and he loves to fish and camp and do all this stuff outdoors, so. Now that he's excited about it, it's all he wants to go do. So selfishly, I get to go. It's just more time for me to get to go do it.
So you've been fishing all your life.
I have. Okay. Yeah.
And now you are in the business, as a chief marketing officer for Haller Brothers.
Yes.
Yes, you're marketing apparel, but you're marketing more than that, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, even before I joined the company, my partners and our founders, they really took... It's a very similar approach to what I just said. It's way more about shared experiences and the moments in between, and the journey is the destination. And so, I hope that a lot of that comes out in the work we do and the content we put out there. A large amount of our photos, you'll see more than one person in there. And they're usually, it looks like they're maybe fishing or maybe going to do some other activity, but they're also kind of just hanging out and laughing and spending time with each other. And, you know, that sort of mindset about it is something that's very important to Howler. And I think that it's not dissimilar from sort of looking out for all the things you care about in the wild.
Now, you mentioned at the top that you're involved in the program in 2019, because
yes.
We're on the second phase.
Yes, we are.
And you're one of another handful of ambassadors that we've
yes,
selected
I am.
To represent that. So why did you say yes?
Well, my friend Jay, initially,
he is
a persuasive gentleman, and he had initially asked me to help brainstorm a list of potential ambassadors for the program, and I love helping, and so I said sure, and we came up with this list. I shared that list, and then he said, "Great, this is wonderful. You know, we've already asked a few of these, and they're on board, so wonderful." I said, "Great." And about 30 minutes later, he texted me back and said, "And you're one too." And I said, "What? No, that's not how it's supposed to work." But and then we spoke about it, and you know, I'm obviously very flattered and happy to represent Howler, but also I just love everything it stands for, and so I am flattered, and I'm honored that I get to come be at the Powderhorn Ranch and do. Participate next year and help to spread this good word.
Okay, so we're on a photo shoot. We made you work some today.
Yes.
Here at Powderhorn Ranch, and
we
and we're doing you know, photo spreads in the Parks and Wildlife magazine. So you'll be in the pages of this month's issue, the January issue. And I know this has been your first trip to Powderhorn. Can you
mm-hmm.
can you give us a first impression?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. It is. You know, the fauna and terrain that you come to expect from the Central Texas coast, and it's just wild and beautiful, and everything out there is meant to scrape or kill or poison you, but it's totally beautiful. And then the coastline is pretty spectacular, and there's a lot of grass flats, and it's just been a beautiful, the whole place is just pretty incredible. And then, you know, when you look back at the history of this property and how significant it was, and to assemble such a huge piece of property, and then to see a lot of that go over through the work of the foundation to go over to the state and now become a wildlife refuge, is pretty incredible. And as someone who cares about this stuff, it's always so neat to see that.
To see that
it is now set up, it is provided for, and that you will always have, there will always be this sort of you know, sheltered spot for the flora and fauna.
Yeah. And just in October of 2018, the foundation basically transferred the property,
yes.
15,000 acres of this property, to the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. For a wildlife management area. And there are already opportunities for public hunting. I know the department is planning other limited recreational and public access in 2019. So that's really exciting. And I think
yes.
for those of us with a foundation who've been involved in one way or another with this, to see that kind of that promise being kept is very, very fulfilling.
Yeah.
So Aaron, you've been here several times. And he was mentioning things that bite and sting. And we were prepared for snakes today, but apparently not fire ants, right?
Yeah. I was not quite prepared for the fire ants that I got attacked by.
Just a little memento.
I learned my lesson to look at the ground in all places when I step out of a car. But no, that's just part of it. But on the flip side, we saw a dolphin. We saw roseate spoonbill. I mean, it's just incredible what you see out here. And we're not that far from the city.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a couple hours down from Austin to here.
Yeah.
It's just incredible.
So as we look toward 2019 and what we're trying to kind of get across and communicate in 2019, is there anything about, I mean, what are the goals for 2019 for this effort?
Definitely continue on the momentum, for sure. We had such positive engagement. When we kicked off, we had a handful of brand partners, and the list just kept growing, word of mouth from people like Rick and Howler Brothers, you know, putting their stamp of approval on it, got others interested in the campaign and wanting to share it with their audiences. So we definitely want to continue to do that. We'll have some other exciting opportunities for involvement with our brand partners, and we've got a new slate of ambassadors like we've talked about, so I'm excited to see them roll out as well.
Okay. So how often, Rick, do you get outdoors?
Not enough. But, you know, in all honesty, it's hard for me to complain because in the past month I've gotten a few trips in, one to Montana, one to Central Texas. But I really relish every opportunity I get, no matter what that is. And it doesn't matter if we catch fish or, you know, whatever the mission of the day is. But with my kids, you know, as Aaron mentioned, they're all so busy these days. They have a million activities and sports and things, which is wonderful. But it's still something that we always try and put on the calendar. So you do
have to put it on the calendar.
We do. Yeah. And I'm very happy to say I have a day on the calendar in about a month with my son to go fishing with another friend of the program, Alvin Dito.
Awesome. So what does that mean to you? I mean, we're sitting out here on the porch, and we are very fortunate to be able to sit out here on the porch of Powderhorn Ranch, and we can see the water, we can hear the wind blowing through the trees. What does it mean to you to be out there in that element?
Honestly, it's a ton of fun, but it also never ceases to amaze me how interesting it is and how much stuff you see and you learn, or that happens and you never expected it to happen, but, well, that's interesting. But really, I think that it's just incredibly therapeutic, and it just makes you happy, kind of recharges your batteries. Other people might enjoy doing something else. My wife loves going to New York City. For her, that really gets her fired up and kind of recharges her creative batteries for her life. Or her job, but for me, it's getting outdoors. It's just the best. There's nothing like it.
I've heard some people give advice to young people about, you know, if you can find something that you're passionate about and that you can happen to make a living at it, it doesn't really feel like work. Do you feel that way with where you've ended up in your career?
I do. I feel extremely fortunate to get to do. I mean, we work hard, and we're very excited about doing that work, and we love what we're doing, and it's a ton of fun. But, you know, building and growing any business is tough, but there's a certain amount of luck involved, there's a certain amount of timing involved, but assembling a great team and doing great stuff is really fun. And That'd be fun almost, you know, agnostic of what business you're building, but the fact that we get to do it and the subject matter is, being outside and doing all these fun activities just makes it all that much sweeter. And of course, you know, getting to go on our photo shoots is pretty awesome too.
So have you done some cool photo shoots?
We've done some great ones. We've done some here in Texas. That have been really great. We've done some, we've gone to Mexico and Costa Rica and Oregon and Utah. And it makes for, there's always something interesting or fun or exciting around the corner.
Yeah. So your calling card, your slogan, whatever you want to call it, is Heed the Call. What does that mean to you?
It's something that my partners came up with early on and before I joined the company, and it really resonated with me as a customer and as a just admirer of the brand. And so as I've come to know them and work at the company now for a few years, I think it means even more. And I think for us, what it really resonates or what it really translates to is that everybody has their own thing that excites them or that calls them. And so mine could be different than yours, but you should embrace that. And you should not say, you should not quiet that voice. You should pursue it and embrace it. And it, in our frame of reference, that tends to be outdoor and outdoor activities, and but also doing that with friends. And you know, all the great things that come on those, doing those activities, like discovering new places and meeting new people and, you know, doing things you've never done before. I mean, like, that's all part of the greater call, if you will.
So I know y'all do a fall line and then a spring line. Mm-hmm. So we've got the spring line just about to come out.
Spring line will be coming out very shortly, probably mid to late February.
Can you give us any hints of what we're gonna see?
Yeah, there's a lot of return favorites. There's some new items. There's if we have become really big fans of developing some a few hero patterns and artwork for each collection. And so one of the hero patterns coming for this collection that I personally really love is called Gallos Galore, and it's these roosters who are going after it in a somewhat of a squabble, and there's feathers flying everywhere, but it's a really, really cool pattern. And so we've got that coming on t-shirts and hats and board shorts and rain jackets and all kinds of good stuff, button downs and all kinds of things. And Chase Hurd, our co-founder and CEO, is also a head of design for us, product design, and he's one of the most insanely creative people you ever met, and very humble about it, so I will sing his praises. But one of the things that I think Chase is so good at is letting other artists in to the fold. It's not, again, it's we, not me. And so we have some contributing artists outside parties this time, and taking those, and he's so good at seeing something great, instead of just plastering that one thing all over the place, he'll take these elements out of that. So you'll see just a rooster in certain places, or you'll see this pattern that is just these sort of disparate feathers floating. That makes its way to a whole other shirt. So you have sort of these, the parent and child of these different designs and stuff. So we have a lot of great stuff coming. And we always have another thing that we've sort of become known for are our special releases. In addition to the spring line, we'll have a number of really cool special releases coming out this spring and summer. Some of them will be what we call mutations, which tend to be the wilder, funkier stuff, and we got some really cool stuff in store.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to do those.
Sounds like you just have a blast doing what you do.
It is really fun, and I work with a lot of really great people, and that makes it awesome. So it makes doing your job a heck of a lot easier.
And of course, you've been involved in the sector for a while, and
I lived
with Yeti before that. And,
yes.
And my understanding was you got involved with Yeti as their first marketing officer.
Yes. And when I first met Roy and Ryan, there was, I think, 8 people in the entire company, including the warehouse, and they were all sharing one Gmail account. And we met, and I found some things that I thought that they were missing out on, and so I sat down with Roy, and we just agreed that we'd start tackling those items. And so,
I was reading an article about you in Adventure Sports Network yesterday, and it said from the time you were involved and the 4 years that you were involved, their sales went from $5 million to $68 million.
I think that's correct.
That must have been quite a ride.
It was a great ride. And, a lot of that, again, I think a lot of that has to do with timing. And a lot of that is the fact that it continues to be a great product offering. And, And Roy is a great founder and a product person by nature. And so, you know, again, it just as today with Howler and having all the Chase's talents at Yeti, having this incredible product, even though at that point, everyone scoffed at you at the idea of a $300 cooler, you know, you could find these ways to get in, and you could find these notes that resonated with people. And then once they saw it and once they used it and they understood that it made all of their hobbies better, all their outdoor hobbies better, you know, it didn't matter if you liked to fish or hunt or camp or tailgate or whatever. It was like, because it allowed you to do that for longer or more or better, that it was kind of like putting your hobby on steroids.
Yeah.
And so,
and also telling authentic stories.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, when you're able to do that, then you're talking to people about their passions, mm-hmm. what they already love and spend too much time and money on. And so when you get to do that, they don't look at it like a sales pitch. They look at it like, we're rapping and high-fiving around the stuff we already love. And so that kind of, I think those dialogues end up being a lot easier. You know, it's harder to find that and refine and get in sync with that. But once you do, it makes it so much greater.
And of course, Aaron, brands like Yeti and Howler Brothers and Diablo Paddle Sports and Toyota, you know, these are the brand partners we worked with in 2018 and the ones we're going to continue to work with in 2019. Anything you want to say? And here's a shameless plug for more potential brand partners, but we're looking for certain kinds, right? I mean, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
We are. I mean, I think certain brands that line up with just the whole We Will Not Be Tamed philosophy and really get behind the ethic of conservation and getting more people outside to enjoy the wild things and wild places. And just, they've all been so incredible to work with, and it hasn't just been promotion on the brand, it's really understanding the message and really getting behind what Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation does. And every brand I could call on and ask questions about, and they invited us, welcomed us to all of their events throughout the year, displayed We Will Not Be Tamed messaging and Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation on all of their social media channels and in their in-stores if they have them. So it was just incredible. So I think we're looking for brands that want to join that and are a good fit for that.
Well, Rick, welcome aboard as an ambassador.
Thank you very much.
I know
much.
We will be talking.
Happy to be here.
Be involved with you all
yes,
year
we
long.
Will.
Any parting shots for the audience?
Just encourage you all to read up and learn more about the foundation and what this great campaign We Will Not Be Tamed is all about. And I think you'll see that it's doing really cool, interesting work, and that every dollar really goes to setting aside these incredible places. And so it really matters. It's the output for the effort and dollars put into this are pretty remarkable.
Aaron,
so get involved.
Awesome. Aaron, any last thoughts?
I echo that. Get involved. I really believe it's up to all of us to leave this place better than we found it and to engage the next generation of stewards. There's just so much out there in Texas to enjoy, so I encourage people to get on board and enjoy it.
Thank you both for your time.
Thank you.
Brought to you by Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, We Will Not Be Tamed calls us all to appreciate the wildness of Texas, the vastness of our Texas spirit, and why we should be inspired to conserve it. Find out more at wewillnotbetamed.org.